When Felix Possack was an 18-year-old musician in Vienna, Austria, he fell in love. Not with a person, but with an instrument. That instrument, the banjo. And that love affair grew into a fascination with one of the most influential banjo players of our time, American folk singer Pete Seeger. Now Felix Possack is 71 and lives in Kelowna. This weekend he celebrates the music and life of Pete Seeger on stage. He joins me in studio with his banjo. Good morning, Felix.
Good morning, Chris.
Tell us about the banjo you have with you now. It's an unusual-looking banjo.
Yes, this is what's called a extra long-neck five-string banjo. And it has 25 frets. A normal five-string banjo would have only 22. You can play it either with your bare fingers or with finger picks. And it's an open-back banjo. That means it doesn't have a resonator in the back. It projects both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Most folk banjos are open backs. The bluegrass banjos tend to have resonators on. It's a wooden back.
Now, you showed me, just a moment ago, you showed me the label inside this banjo, and
yep.
It is the Pete Seeger model.
It is.
It's a Vega
yes.
banjo, a Pete Seeger model. Pete Seeger wanted these extra three frets?
He did.
Tell us
he
about
did.
That.
He approached the Vega Banjo Company of Boston, Massachusetts, to make him a banjo that had these extra three frets and the longer neck, so he could move the caper further down and get more keys out of the banjo instead of having to completely retune it. So if you play, for example, the normal tuning with the banjo being in the, with the caper being in its regular spot, if you take it off completely, it would get as low as an A or
Could we hear that?
Yeah, I'll shift it down. Let's see. This will be B-flat.
Okay, you've got the capo on the first fret, huh?
Yeah. Oh, if I take the capo off completely, now I'm way down.
That's a low sound for
yes,
a banjo.
Very low, yeah. But that enabled him to sing in lower keys.
Because he had a deep voice.
Yes, and so he appreciated that.
Now, you grew up in Vienna.
I did.
How on earth did you first find a banjo?
The banjo, first heard on the radio, actually, and on the jukebox. when I came home from school, there was an espresso, and I walked by it, and they had a jukebox, and they played the hits of the day, and there was one called Tom Dooley by the Kingston Trio. And it had an introduction where somebody was talking, and in the background there was an instrument I'd never heard before, and I said to myself, this is a neat-sounding instrument, and it was a banjo. And I had heard a banjo before, but not that kind of banjo. Mm. That was a five-string banjo that they had. And it had a more gentle, a very fine sound.
Yeah, a lilting sound as well. Can you play us the first little bits of Tom Dooley?
Sure.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Yep. People will know that. How did Pete Seeger influence you as a musician and a storyteller?
I thought he was a fascinating character. He was a folk singer, very simple performer, really. But the more I found out about him, the more impressed I became with him, especially his history. He came from a very wealthy family. Both his parents were classical musicians. And both his parents actually taught at Juilliard. So it was interesting to see how a young man from that kind of background becomes a folk singer. And he was more, in his beginning, he was more an archivist, a collector of folk songs. He produced a book called American Folk Songs and Ballads, which is a standard work of all the folk music, really, all the traditional songs of Americana are in that book. And I thought this was a great piece of work.
You actually met Pete Seeger, I understand.
I did,
at one
yes.
point. Tell us about that.
Well, I was performing at the 1980 Winnipeg Folk Festival, and he was also there. In fact, it was a great array of artists that year. And he was one of the headliners of the show, of the festival, and one day we were waiting for a shuttle. They had five stages going simultaneously, and waiting for a shuttle. And he was there, and he came up to me because he had seen my picture in the program of the festival. And he said, "Why did you put a resonator on the banjo?" What I had done is I had ordered a resonator. This banjo is really meant as an open back banjo. But I wanted to see what a resonator would do. So I ordered a resonator from the banjo company, the Vega people. And I got it, and I put it on, and I had it on when the picture was taken, so he saw it. And I said, "Yes, I wanted to, you know, banjo players always mess around with their instruments. They fiddle down with the bridges, and they file down nuts and so on, always trying to get a different sound." And I told him, "Yeah, I put the resonator on." He said, "And?" And I said, "Well, I don't really like it that much." He said, "Oh, good," because he wasn't impressed. So, and then the shuttle came, and we drifted apart. I never really got to talking to him that much.
You heard Tom Dooley a moment ago, and that was the first song you remember hearing. Does it still have that magic for you?
Oh, yes, totally.
Why?
The banjo has an infectious sound. It cheers up people. The minute I start playing it, people perk up. They start smiling. They tap the toes. They clap the hands. They sing along. It is a marvelous instrument for making people happy.
And you'll be on stage on Saturday. What will people see and hear?
I'll be talking about Pete Seeger, the man, his background, his career, the songs he performed, and also about the people who influenced him, his contemporaries in the folk music scene at that time. So people like Woody Guthrie, Lead Belly, Malvina Reynolds, Elizabeth Cotton, who was a housekeeper in the Seeger household.
If you've never heard Elizabeth Cotton, you'd look her up. She's wonderful.
Yes, she is. Yeah. So all these people will be coming up as well, and I'll be singing their songs.
You have a book with you here.
I do.
Tell us about the book.
This is the book that started me on five-string banjo, and it was written by Pete Seeger.
It's simply called How to Play the Five-String Banjo.
Yeah, it is. And there's many books that appeared after that book came out by people like Earl Scruggs and Bill Keith and other really good banjo players. But I think this is one of the best ones. It's very simple. It was written on a manual typewriter, if you can believe it.
Really?
And then just copied. And the funny thing is, in his foreword here, this is the third edition. It was printed in 1962. But there were two original editions before that. And he writes in it, it's okay to copy this. In the first edition, it says copyright 1948, but he says, I'm sorry to say that this is not true because the necessary $4 were never shelled out. So if you want to copy any section of the book, go ahead.
Well, the songs are familiar. I mean, Oh My Darling, Clementine, The Blue Tail Fly, Foggy Mountain Breakdown, Cripple Creek. These are all, Skip to My Lou, these are all very, they're straightforward songs if you play them on a guitar.
Are they
easy to learn on the banjo?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. They're great on the banjo. He starts off by teaching the basic strum, which is like, and then the way he describes it, okay, when you add the fifth string, it becomes a rhythm that is bump diddy bump diddy bump diddy.
Skip to my loo, my darling. Right, everybody's singing. And that's the bum diddy that you, as a beginner, you learn.
That's how you start.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is making everybody smile this morning. Felix, thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Very welcome.
Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much.